Welcome to the Route 42 Podcast. I'm Pastor Chris Cahill, and I'm pastor of Christ the King Lutheran Church. We're located on U.S. Route 42, north of Lodi, Ohio. The Route 42 Podcast is the place to hear recordings of recent sermons at Christ the King, and sometimes special conversations with our members and friends. In today's episode, when and how a person decides to serve another person or a cause depends on several things. Whether that person is agreeable to serving the other person or cause, for instance. That's what we call attitude. Whether he or she has enough time on their schedule or money in their bank. That's availability. What he or she ultimately decides to do, that's action. But this week in the Serving Challenge, we'll think about ability. And that asks us to consider quite a lot. What are you physically able to do? What's your level of experience with the service you're being asked to perform? What kind of gifts has God given you that enable you to encourage the faith of others by your service? Let's listen. And we listen to God's Word now. The New Testament reading this morning is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, and then verses 11 through 15. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The second reading is in the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Jesus taught this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant! You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is God's word for us this morning. Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, as always. Amen. I'm going to trust that by now, after years of this particular commercial being on television, that you've heard the tagline, "What's in your wallet?" I'm going to tell you also that I don't worry about what's in your wallet this morning. I'm not even going to ask you to worry about what's in your wallet. I'm just using that as to say, I don't care about the wallet this morning, but I do have a tool bag, and I'll show you what's in the tool bag in a little bit. But we're talking still about the serving challenge, the challenge to do what Jesus did. When St. Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he said, have the same mind as Jesus, the same attitude as Jesus, who came down from heaven, set aside everything that he had in heaven in order to serve us by going to the cross. He saw the state of the world and how sin had just ruined the world, and God loved us and the whole world so much that he sent Jesus to the cross. Yes, to Bethlehem. Yes, to the manger. Yes, to heal and forgive and strengthen and do all the things he did on earth, but ultimately to the cross, because sin had kept us captives. It's like a hostage taker, a kidnapper who took us captive and demanded a ransom payment for us. And when Jesus was on the cross, that was the payment that he made. We call that the atonement. He paid for us that ransom, not only to ransom, but double that much. He paid with his life. That's how much it was worth. And that ransomed us, set us free from Satan, from sin, from hell, from the devil, set us completely free. And that's what salvation is. It's Jesus setting us free from all those things so that we can serve him, so that we can be his people, so that we can be restored to the love of God, all the things we've been talking about for several weeks. And in this particular challenge, this particular sequence, we've said that then we think about how is our attitude the same as Jesus? Jesus came to serve us, so what do you think about serving other people? What would you think about that? Is it the same as Jesus or similar to that? Now, I understand that Jesus does not expect you or me to go to the cross. He doesn't expect that. He did that for us. That work that he's done is absolutely complete. We are absolutely free from sin. We're free from having to obey the law of God. We're free from all of that, but we can imitate Jesus at least a little bit. He doesn't expect us to do what he did. He expects us or asks us to do what we can do in imitation of Jesus so that people will look at us and say, you look like Jesus when you do that, when you think that way. What's our attitude? We've talked about our attitude. We've talked about so far our availability, our thinking about should we plan to do something to serve others? Should we figure out how to set aside time to do that? Do we do it sometimes just spontaneously, like holding the door open for somebody when they're coming out of a restaurant or whatever? Or do we plan it? We had several years here where we would send teams of youth people and adults to things called work camp, where they would go to other communities and help with painting houses or building decks or ramps, wheelchair ramps. And you have to set aside time to do that. You got it, because it's a whole week. You can't just drive to West Virginia and come back in one day after completing a project like that. You spend a whole week. So you got to set that aside. That's availability. Or sometimes our service is you just happen to be there when somebody's struggling to go out the door with an armful of groceries and babies, you know, things like that. You have to do that. And then there's action. What do we actually do? Again, it's like, do you actually open the door? Are there some things you do? Today we're talking about ability. What can you do? I just said something about these work camps that we used to go to. Sometimes we would ask the adults, look, if you're going to go to this work camp, you need to be able to know which end of the hammer to use. You need to be able to know how to use a power circular saw. You need to be able to climb a ladder. Okay, so there are certain basic things that adults need to do, and you need to be able to supervise and monitor and even teach kids how to do those things. So the youth groups that went were all high school kids because we didn't want younger kids climbing ladders and using power saws and, you know, hitting themselves in the hand or the head with hammers. Had to be of a certain age to do it. And that's what ability is partly about. It's about what you're physically built to do, what you're physically able to do. If you take a look at the altar behind me, you see that there's a couple of candles on that altar that are getting kind of low. When the candles need to be replaced, which we'll be probably doing pretty soon just before Easter, the candles that will replace these are really tall. And so if we have kids that come up that are able to reach these, they're not going to be able to reach the tall candles then. Have to have somebody else who's taller who can reach them. That's part of what goes into ability. Another part of what goes into ability is what do you know how to do? What have you learned how to do? What do you have experience in? Sometimes people say to me, "Oh, Pastor Cahill, I couldn't do what you do." And because what they see me doing is this, and the Sunday morning stuff, it's the public stuff. "I couldn't do what you do, Pastor Cahill." And sometimes I'm just like, yeah. But this morning I want to say, that's an absolutely true statement, but one of the reasons I can do this is because many years ago, right after college, I went to a special school called a seminary to learn how to do this, and I've been practicing doing this for the last almost 45 years. So I have training and I have practice. That's why I can do it this way. And that's why sometimes people say, "Oh, I couldn't do what you do." Well, if you haven't had training or experience, of course not. You need some of that. I couldn't do what some of you do because they don't have the same training and experience. I can't play the organ. That's why I'm so grateful to have Joanne Zarel play the organ. I'm confused by two keyboards. Piano, okay, but two keyboards. And then with the feet, come on, I don't know what to do with all that. But Joanne does it extremely well. It's that kind of thing. And there are some things that you do or can do or train to do that other people cannot do. That's part of ability. Part of ability is what has God given you the gifts to be able to do. And it doesn't have to do with training or teaching. It has to do with who you are and how God has put you together. You know, there are some people in the church, and this is all in the church. That's what St. Paul says. In the church, some people do this, some people do that, some people do the others. That's in Ephesians. It's also in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. It's also in Romans 13. All these different aspects of the people of God that God pulls together in a congregation or in the church at large to help one another. Like treasurers. I don't have the training or the ability to do the treasury. I am so grateful for all the treasurers that we've ever had at congregations that I've served. They've got that ability. I can't do it. I just don't have the patience, the time, or I'm not built to do that. There are other people whose natural ability seems to be to jump to help other people. Let me see what I can do to help out. And some people are wired a little bit differently than others. A number of years ago, we had a council meeting and we had a meal with it, as we usually do. And at the end of the council meeting, somebody just drove into the parking lot that we didn't recognize, didn't know who this person was. They came in the building. They were on their way from one place to another. They were running out of gas. And we said, "Well, we just had a meal here." So a couple of the people from council jumped up and put together the leftovers in a thing so that this person could have a meal to go with them on the road. We sat him down and made him a plate and had him eat it there, but we gave him more food to take on the road. Some people did that. A couple other people said, "I can help by jumping up and running to the computer," and they ran off a map so he would know where to go. I went to one of the guys and I said, "Here's the church credit card. Take this guy down to the gas station and fill up his car and then bring the credit card back." And two of the guys, Dale LaRue, who's a retired state trooper, and Larry Saul, who's a retired firefighter, they were on their phones running his license plate because their radar was always up like that. And they checked him out, And he was fine, and they said, yeah, we can do all this stuff. But that's how all the various gifts and trainings and radars and the way people are built, that's how we work together here in this place. To do the work that God has called us to do, to serve one another, to serve that man who came in as a stranger, to serve one another. Another thing I said earlier this morning in the early service was that there are some folks who come in and, you know, God has put them in this place in such a way that when they walk in the door, everybody smiles. And that's a great thing. You're not aware of this probably, but for a number of years, we've had a guy who comes to the early service whose name is Norm. And he's fighting cancer now, so he doesn't come as regularly. But he comes in just, you know, a few minutes before the early service starts. And when he comes in, there's maybe five or six people who are here before he gets here. He walks in the door, and they all go, Norm! And he just gets a chuckle out of that. But there's always a smile on our face when we see Norm come in, because we get to go, Norm! And he's not the only one. There's several others like that. Sometimes they're little kids. Sometimes they're grandmas and grandpas. That's like that. God has given us, each of us, different gifts, different abilities, different skills. Sometimes it's personality, traits. Sometimes it's the way we're built. But God has given us each a measure of His grace so that we can encourage one another. He's given us a measure of His love, His forgiveness, so that we can encourage one another. And it doesn't have to look spectacular. Sometimes the measure of grace that God has given to some of us doesn't seem like much. None of us are really spectacular, really. None of us are really glamorous and glitzy. I'm not sure if there's any of us that would be able to walk the Hollywood red carpet like they're going to do tonight at the Oscars. I'm not sure that there's many of us that would want to, frankly. We're just not that way. So we look kind of blah by comparison to some of those Hollywood stars. But I want to show you something that I do have in my tool bag. This is a tool bag that I often take with me to do the work that you've called me to do as your pastor. I've got a Bible in there. I've got a couple of prayer books. I don't know if any of you, aside from my wife, who has seen this often, and Joanne, who saw this morning, I don't know if you've ever seen this thing. This is a gift that I received just before I finished the seminary. So I've had it for almost 45 years. I've received this gift also somewhere along the line as an anniversary gift for many years of service in the ministry, a gift from this congregation. It's wonderful, it's colorful, and people have seen this periodically. You possibly have. It's beautiful. This is just a somewhat plain black box. It's got a leatherette cover. It's kind of worn on the corners. A little bit. It appears to be from the wearing a cardboard box. It's not glamorous or glitzy. And there have been times when I thought, I should replace that. And then I thought, no, I'm not gonna. And I don't want to. But it goes with me in that bag. And when I go to sometimes hospitals to make visits to people in the hospital, or I go to nursing homes to visit people who are in the nursing home, sometimes I go to somebody's kitchen, or their living room, or their dining room, or their den, or someplace like that. And this comes with me because what this box has in it is more important than the box itself. This box has a place for four of the communion cups like we have up here. It's got a place for a bottle that has wine in it. And it's got a place for a little container with like a little plate here, and about a dozen communion wafers in it. And so what happens is, I've often taken this with me over the years to, as I said, hospital rooms, nursing home rooms, kitchen tables, dens, dining rooms, living rooms, and we have communion with the person who's there. This is not the only place, these rails, this is not the only place where people receive communion as part of Christ the King Lutheran Church. We do it in all those other places too. Sometimes it's one-on-one. Sometimes it's several members of the family are there. Sometimes other people have come with me, and we bring the Lord's Supper to them. So this box is a communion set. The box itself is just a black box, but it brings the grace of God, the love of God, the love of Jesus, and the forgiveness of Jesus to people that we set it out with, just as much as it does here when you come up and receive the body and blood of Jesus here. I can't tell you how many times I've taken this with me to other places and given communion to other people. It must be hundreds of times over the 40-plus years. Some of the people are quite weak. Some of them just are not able to get out, and they're kind of, sometimes they call them homebound. And so what we end up doing is, you know, this communion part of the service only takes about 10 minutes of time to do it, but it almost always takes me an hour when I go to visit somebody with this, because they're part of the congregation, so they want to know how this person is, how that person is, how we're doing. They want me to know how they're doing. We know what to pray for with them. We have those conversations. Somewhere along the line, we have the Lord's Supper together, and it's a great comfort for them. I can't tell you of those hundreds of times that we've done this, how many times I've seen people just, it seems like the weight of their difficulties is lifted from their shoulders by the time we're done with this. And I always take the Lord's Supper with them, just like I do here, because I want them to think and to at least have the picture that they're still part of the congregation. They're part of this family of God. They're part of you and me together. And they're just as important as if they were here at the rails. Those folks sometimes are important to us because they pray for us and we don't even know it. They think about us and we don't even know it. Sometimes they call us or they call one another, which is great, but they're kind of like hidden members of God's family here that we hardly ever see, just like you hardly ever see this or maybe have never seen this before. And yet God's grace and His love and His mercy are in all of them just as much as it is in all of us. You don't have to be a spectacular, glamorous, glitzy Christian doing all kinds of wonderful things that gets all kinds of notice. In fact, last week I think we had the hymn, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying. And there was a little verse in it that's always been one of my favorites. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say He died for all. And it says, if you cannot rouse the wicked from the judgment's dread alarms, you can lead the little children into Jesus' waiting arms. We don't have to do anything particular, special, or Oscar-worthy or whatever. Just be what God has designed us to be, containers for His grace, filled with His love, filled with His mercy, and overflowing with that mercy and grace to the people around us. Sometimes that shows up just as opening a door. Sometimes that shows up as saying, I'll pray for you. Sometimes that shows up as having a cup of coffee with them. Sometimes it shows up as by walking through the doors here and people smile to see that you're here. Sometimes it's much more than that. But it flows out of the goodness and grace and mercy that Jesus gave to us in His coming down from heaven to be our Savior, to die on the cross, to rise from the dead, and give us that promise of salvation. That's what gives us the ability to serve one another and others in Jesus' name. And the peace of God that passes all our understanding will keep our hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This episode of the Route 42 podcast was recorded live during a Sunday worship service at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Lodi, Ohio, on March 10, 2024. You can find out more about us and sign up for our email list at our website, www.christthekinglodi.org. Check out the show notes for details. God bless you and thank you for listening.